Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Evidence continues to mount that the Russian government was behind the hack on the Democratic National Committee that played such a sizable role in the presidential election. Cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike released a report last week that links both the malware used at the DNC and malware used on a hack of Ukrainian fighters to one cyber espionage group called Fancy Bear. CrowdStrike says it has a medium level of confidence that Fancy Bear is connected with Russian military intelligence. With new cyber threats popping up all the time, the face of politics and war are changing. Some cybersecurity experts are calling for better cyber deterrence, stopping hackers, large and small, from acting in the first place. Chris Demchak is the Grace M. Hopper Professor of Cybersecurity and Professor of the Cyber Conflict Center at the U.S. Naval War College. Chris, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hello.
So, Professor, we should probably take a minute here and define our terms because people are familiar with cybersecurity, but we're talking about deterrence here, trying to prevent an adversary, an enemy, even a hacker from even thinking about it or trying it. So what does deterrence look like these days?
Well, deterrence today is often viewed through the lens of the Cold War and the way we viewed how you deterred adversaries from using nuclear weapons. There are three main elements of a Cold War definition of deterrence, and that is denial, punishment, and entanglement. The difficulty was nukes are very few sources, very high consequences, very low probabilities. So it was left to governments to negotiate with single adversaries or to chase down rogue adversaries. Cyberspace, on the other hand, is a global substrate connecting all elements of society with a grand multitude of sources, low to high consequences, just depends, and low to high probabilities. So to deter bad consequences in a large-scale complex system like that, you need to kind of change the emphasis of that set of four. Norms are hard to do because there's too many people playing. Entanglement, well, everybody's entangling, but it's already breaking up. And punishment has its own issues. And denial is what's left, and we place the least amount of emphasis on that because so many private sector actors are involved. And yet, to deter the kinds of consequences that we concern ourselves with, we need to talk about the first, the denial, before we talk about punishment. And by the way, the term of art for that is resilience.
So, Chris Demchak, we should stress that you're speaking from your own expertise here and not reflecting the positions of the U.S. Navy or the U.S. government or the War College where you work. But that type of denial that you're talking about, does this mean a new culture among, you know, all the corporations, private entities like the DNC, frankly, or other political organizations that takes deterrence more seriously, that puts up higher and thicker firewalls, I guess, so that fewer people think about getting over them or through them?
The short answer would be yes, but let me put some meat on that. Let me say that the answer has to be systemic. There are leftover notions from the 90s and the aughts about cyberspace as this beautiful, warm cloud that doesn't need governments and nobody needs to govern it. But it's actually owned, operated by somebody, somewhere, everywhere. And those people get a vote. And those people simply have to play in this denial. And that includes the folks that design those apps you use. They have to recognize they have a role to play in cleaning up this poorly designed system. And furthermore, what we designed is not being used the same way outside of Europe, the US, and our normal like-minded allies. They're being used by autocratic countries to control their people. That's not going away. We're not going to change that. They're being used in rules in ways that we didn't anticipate when we created this seemingly free knowledge generator. And so now we have to adapt as well. The private sector is the key. And the private sector has to stand up and say, right, it's changing. Jurisdictions are rising. Countries are claiming their own cyberspace. And they're not going to let us play as they did during the Cold War when we were the dominant economic actor in the world.
Chris Demchak is director of the Cyber Conflict Center at the U.S. Naval War College. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.